Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, you are going to be very excited about our show today. It has been incredible, the people that take on the mission. Now look, I know that you may be listening because you want to, or you are, and you are probably having as much fun as I am listening to these incredible stories. And isn't it just mind-blowing the different things that people do? I don't know. Like, I just never knew there were so many incredible different opportunities out there for us. And so our mission on Mission Accepted is to support you and yours, but also to inspire you to maybe take a look at some different careers, at some people doing some really interesting things. So you guys know you're the best audience. I'm going to say that you fill my bucket. That's how good you are. And I'm going to say that because our guest is making a huge splash in the world. We have an incredible international guest on. We're so happy to have her, and we're so lucky that it was able to work out to get her on the show. I'm going to introduce you to an incredible woman named Ruth. And I met Ruth through networking with her husband. And as I was talking to her husband about this project, he's nodding and nodding and nodding. And the next thing you know, I was fortunate enough to meet his wife, and I heard some incredible stories, and I know that you want to hear about these as well. So Ruth, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Thanks very much, Deb. So good to be here.
Absolutely. Well, as you can tell, people, she doesn't live in Canada where I am. Not to say that there's not some Aussies here, because you guys are just loaded up the Whistler Mountain. But she's definitely, well, actually, Ruth, share with us where you're from, because I just went and said Aussies, but...
That's right. I am from Australia, but I live just in New South Wales, just under the Queensland border.
Right. There you go.
The Northern Rivers.
And water is this lady's tool for her business. So Look, Mission Accepted, we talk a little bit about what it is that decides, you know, what's the decision that makes people decide that they want to take on the mission of owning their own business. And what I want to say about Ruth is I want to introduce you probably for most of you, the first time that you've met an aquatic therapist. So when I heard she was an aquatic therapist, I was like, well, okay, look at my son's name's Ocean. So I liked her already. She didn't have to do anything. I'm like, oh, I love you. What do you do? I want to hear about what you do. But, you know, the only thing that I had really related to aquatic therapist was, you know, when I was trying to get my body back, period. Let's just leave it there. I was trying to get my body back after having my daughter. And they were like, hey, they're doing these classes now in the water so that you can go in and you can do AquaFit, right? And then that opened up my world to understanding of just how the body can heal in the water in relationship to exercise and what have you. But I was really interested in hearing what this lady does. And honestly, man, what a big-hearted woman she is. Can you please explain to people really what an aquatic therapist is? And then maybe just go into what made you decide to venture into entrepreneurialism and pick that as your craft.
So aquatic therapy is water-based. I mainly work with children, although I do have a couple of adults that I work with. So it's using the magical medium of water and being able to work with children who are with additional needs. So there's certain equipment that's used, there's techniques and strategies to work with these children so that you're developing their proprioception skills, their motor planning, self-regulation, coordination, focus, lots of that sort of stuff, with the ultimate game being safe propulsion, whatever that might look like.
Wow. So what made you decide to go into this world?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I don't think there was actually one big moment that I decided that's what I'm going to do. I was very fortunate when I went through university all those years ago. I was studying sports science and I thought I'm going to be the next greatest sports scientist, live in Canberra and generate the next fastest swimming generation. But while I was at uni, there was an elective that I took and I ended up working with and volunteering with a pediatric physio who was in the water working with children with special needs. And it just really resonated with me. And then I was fortunate enough to be in an audience with a chap by the name of James McMillan. Unfortunately, he's passed now, but he is an Austrian man, came to Australia, and he designed, he called it swimming for the handicapped. So it was a long time ago. So he introduced me to another world as well. And that's all about a lot of hydrotherapy and physio principles within the pool, within the water. I worked as a volunteer in England with him. And then I was researching and researching, you know, there was all the courses I could do in Australia and I got to the top of the courses, couldn't do any more. And so I did some research and found, well, where else can I do this? There must be more to this than you know, I've done already. So I ended up overseas doing some study and brought that knowledge back to Australia.
Wow. So isn't that interesting? I always think it's quite the path on how people, you know, come to what it is that they do or when they're doing what they're doing because they think that's the path they're going to go. Something opens up or you meet somebody or there's a course, like here is an elective. You know, it wasn't even like the main study. It was just an elective. For me, it was a pink flyer at a muffin place that was the only place I could find sugar-free, dairy-free, and wheat-free 30 years ago in Vancouver, drove 40 minutes to get this muffin because I was pregnant and I wanted one. And it was a flyer that I read about a massage class. And look, I owned a studio for 27 years and did 30,000 clients over a muffin. And here it is, you had this aspiration and you had an elective. I think, you know, that just tells me, you know, keep your eyes open, you know, keep, yeah.
And I've been in the aquatics industry for 42 years consistently. So, you know, water is definitely in my veins. I was a competitive swimmer. I played water polo, life-saving, beach life-saving, you know, swam competitively. So it's always been there, but I always thought I would be involved in making sure bodies could go fast from a scientific point of view. But it's gone complete circle. I still work with bodies in the water and we want safe propulsion, but there's so many more benefits from being in the water that then transfers for these kids onto life on land. So it's a bit of a mix really between the physio world and the OT world.
Right.
And traditional. Yeah. Right. It's a lovely mix.
Well, you know, I have to say I've been fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time with you and I'm, you know, we were just talking pre-show. Hopefully I'm actually going to see you in my country.
That's
and,
right.
Right. Yep. So, you know, your stories just pulled at my heartstrings. And can you share with us so people can kind of get an idea of what are some of the results of, because I know that there's someone listening that loves water as much as you and is like, I never thought of that. Or they work with children that have extra needs and they never thought of taking their skills and applying it to water or taking water and applying it to their skills. I truly believe that. So can you share with us maybe how this has transformed onto land for some people?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the young boys I worked with and have recently stopped working with, his name's Sonny and won't mind me saying that. He's nonverbal. And I started working with him when he was about four, so many years ago and pre-COVID. So Sonny would come once a week and we'd have wonderful aquatic therapy sessions. He made noises, so it was a bit difficult to sometimes understand what was happening for him. Anyway, probably 6 months to 9 months into our aquatic therapy sessions, COVID hit. It was the worst thing in the world, of course, for everybody. But Sonny used to sit on a swing that hung from a fig tree in the front of his house in his yard, and that was his place to go. That was his happy place. So he often swung in the swing. And then COVID hit, and it was a couple of weeks into COVID, and, of course, no pools were open, no aquatic therapy. And Sonny's mum texted me and said that they had to take the swing down because Sonny was falling off all the time. He just couldn't stay there. And what had happened was his core strength was no longer there. His fine and gross motor skills to actually hang on to the swing and be able to propel himself had all diminished. And the only thing that he had been doing was aquatic therapy. There was no other therapy involved. So this little fellow was a danger to himself now. So the swing came down. But then once COVID finished and we could get back in the pool, we started it up again. And within a couple of months, he was able to have his swing put back up. So it's, you know, stories like that, that it's every day, Deb.
Wow. Yeah. I can definitely see why that I can just see why you would do what you do. So what is it that people need to know? Like, here we are, we're talking, we have an opportunity and a platform here to share. I mean, I want to talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship and what it is. I mean, you know, what that's been for you, like for you and what have you, but we just have an opportunity here to share. Is this something that's available worldwide? How can, you know, I'm sure there's people listening that think, wow, there's so many people that could benefit from that. Is this something that is done worldwide, or what's with your industry?
Yeah, look, I have looked into it. Yes, there is aquatic therapy in America and in Canada. But to my understanding, it's a different definition. Aquatic therapists over in Canada and America, my understanding is they're more like an assistant to the physios and to the OTs. I could be wrong there, but there's nothing like it here in Australia. And so I'm at the very early stages of a research project with one of the big universities here in Queensland, actually, Griffith University. And I'm going to do an observational research project that brings Australian evidence-based research so that we can prove that aquatic therapy works. And my game, ultimate game, is to make it either a part of or a standalone university degree. You know, we have art therapy and music therapy. Well, why not aquatic therapy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised that you even have to prove it. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of stories. You know, you've been doing this for quite a time. I don't think it's, you know, whoa, who could imagine that exercise underwater? I mean, we know the buoyancy, you know, I mean, I study a lot of brain health. I tell people, I mean, swimming is, you know, there's a, you know, sports that are best for the brain are kind of, you know, ping pong and those kind of things. But the best overall sport in everything that I've ever listened to, read to, or what have you, is swimming. It's the best overall for the body. So I can't imagine that it would be too difficult. But now, are you going to be heading up something, or, you know, are you hoping, like, what would your role be? Where can we help you?
Well, I'm not sure, but I interviewed actually an academic just earlier this week, and well, she interviewed me too, I guess. And I think we'll be working together so, you know, we can actually start the project, the research project, and get it going. Right. It's exciting times because I did create an online course for swimming teachers because a lot of teachers in Australia and around the world who I've been talking with over LinkedIn and Zoom calls, they're all saying the same thing, that there's an increase of children with challenging behaviours coming into our traditional swimming lessons. And a lot of the teachers don't feel confident or have the skills to work with these children. A lot of teachers think it's an issue with themselves. They don't have, you know, the ability to work with these kids, or they quickly categorize these children as naughty. Well, they're not being naughty, you know. So usually there's a reason for the behavior that's in front of you. Just have to work backwards to work out why it's there. What strategies and techniques and some of the equipment can I use and manage and implement so that we can, you know, progress through the lesson well. And a lot of the time it's about managing your own behavior first. So, you know, and so I created an online course for mainly Australian swimming teachers, but it's out there for the world, so that they can have these skills as well.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so incredible. That's so incredible. How can that not be helpful? You know, how can that not be helpful? Because that is, I mean, knowing a lot of teachers, not just in that world alone, but there's a lot of diversity coming in. And, you know, how can one, you know, one does need to keep up and one does need to, to do that. Okay, so entrepreneurial. When did you decide to do this? Why did you decide to do this other than this calling, you know?
Yeah, look, it was around 8 years ago, Deb, when I decided I'd jump in with both feet and make a bigger splash. Up until then, kids, there were we have two children, and previously I'd been helping my husband in businesses that we were running together. It was just the right time. I was supported. I felt wholly in the community as well as just with not just my family, but it just became quite a freeing and liberating experience to think, right, this is my time. I'm going to make something of this. And yeah, I'm loving it.
That's so great. I mean, it's incredible. I know that your husband as well is a very strong, boisterous advocate of entrepreneurship. He certainly has no fear of taking himself to market. And I know that he's been a big supporter of yours. So I think that's a big part of it. You know, if you are able and you have access to support like that, whether it's family or whether it's friends or whether it's colleagues, that's why we always say, like, gather people around. Because even if you've been in business for a long time, it's interesting some of the comments or people that don't understand, like, oh, what do you mean you're working on Sunday? And I'm like, it's 2 hours and I'm pretty good. On Tuesday I went to the spa while you were working, so I didn't bug you. But it's very interesting how the outside world can see it. So that's great. So, and what about your kids? You've got two kids, and
Yes. And at the moment, they're both in Canada. So,
oh, lucky us.
well, yeah,
Lucky us.
you are very lucky.
Yes.
So Grace is our eldest, and she studied over in Canada for 1 year of her degree. But of course, she met a Canadian boyfriend, and now she's living over there, applying for permanent residency. And our son is traveling with his Australian girlfriend, so hopefully he'll come back home. The big plan is we're actually going to be having Christmas, a white Christmas in Canada with them. So, always wanted to, and now because of our children, we're going to go
Yeah.
to Canada. Yeah.
Well, it seems like that entrepreneurial spunk is family wide.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what? I always, just giving insight to people. You've had that experience with that family. I don't need to assume. I'm sure you've had many more, right?
Yeah.
What's it like for a family that decides that they want to bring aquatic therapy into their life? Like,
Yeah.
maybe you have other stories or things that it has been helpful with, or what's that like?
Look, it's very humbling, actually. And sometimes I've thought actually it's quite a selfish profession because I get so much more out of it. Sometimes it's like you're looking into their soul, when you're working with these kids. It's just in your own little bubble, just with them. But honestly, for the families, I think I'm going to say also liberating because for some of the families, they and siblings, they haven't been able to go into the community environment or a public pool or even to accept the invitation to the backyard barbecue because their friend has a pool. And if, for example, an autistic child is drawn to water, so there's always been that real danger and they're not confident how it's going to go. So the siblings don't socialize so much either. But once the child and the parent sees that the child is pretty comfortable in the water and there's a routine around actually getting to a body of water that they go through, and then certain strategies that they can implement themselves, well, it opens up their world. And the siblings get to socialize too, so they can accept that backyard barbecue invitation.
Oh, wow, right? Just the little things that make life so different. The little things that make life so different.
Even one family, they live on, they're back onto a golf course here in Australia. And so they would love to walk their dog around the golf course, but of course there's dams and it was never really possible, but now they can actually walk around a golf course or at the beach and they know that their son's not going to take off and run into the water. So
Right.
it's transformative for the families as well as me.
Yeah, right. I get that. I can understand that. I mean, I think when you do anything that changes people's lives and it kind of warms your heart,
Yeah.
there's such a give and take and take and give, right? That comes with what we do. And I think predominantly when I get to talk to so many entrepreneurs, and I don't know if I've ever run into one where there hasn't been someone that is doing what they're doing for themselves. And there's this and community and family and my parents and my children and leave something to my grandchildren, or my girlfriend kicked off this idea, or, partnering on this. It's just such an expansive, not to say that when people work for a corporation or a company or what have you, that they don't have that feeling as well. But there is something that really does come back and warm our heart when we do the kind of work that you're doing. Absolutely. So let's shift it a little bit. Let's shift it a little bit and let's find out a little bit about you. So I love this because, particularly as a giver, you might find this really difficult. But those of us that outpour our love, and it can be anything personal, it can be anything for your business, right? But if you had something on your bucket list that you really want to happen or you really want to experience, other than a white Christmas in Canada, because apparently you're going to be checking that box off. What would you like that to be? What's on your bucket list, Ruth?
Wow.
I know.
Well, this university degree, that's what, for aquatic therapy, I'm sure it's 10 years in the making, but a closer bucket list. Honestly, that's a tough one.
I know.
I seem to, just going day to day, it's just such a interesting life that I lead at the moment. I guess it's the white Christmas for sure, but beyond that, what I'd really like, what I'd really like to see is a purpose-built pool from which aquatic therapy and only children with additional needs are taught to swim or are taken through aquatic therapy sessions. And it would be filled with other disciplines as well, so the physio world, the OT world, the speechy world. There'd be a sensory room. There'd be equipment and things like a rock wall built in the pool, so that the sensory stimulation, the physical ability can be done actually in the pool rather than in a four-walled therapy session. Yeah, so that would be that's a big dream. Yeah, that's a big ticket item, that one.
That's a big ticket item, but look at, I knew it would be difficult because you're a giver. So here's the cool thing is that now that this bucket list, now that this, the grand scheme, which is here's the interesting thing in the world, right? Your grand scheme is someone's, oh, that's easy. Right?
Yeah.
Your grand scheme is someone's like, oh, I could do that with the interest off my bank account this month. Like that's the cool thing about being able to put it in the universe. Because now when someone else asks you, you're going to like, oh, it's going to rattle off. And someone somewhere will watch this podcast now, 3 years, 5 years from now, because that's how the universe delivered it up that day while they were late missing their flight or whatever it is. And they listen, they're like, oh my gosh, I absolutely align with that. I think it's, all right. Very cool. So bringing it back home a little bit. What's something we don't know about you? Something we don't know about you. Could be anything.
That you don't know about me.
Yeah.
Well, don't you know about? I had meningitis when I was 16 and survived.
Oh, okay. That's a big deal.
That was a big deal. Yep.
It's a big deal. I'm sure your family was a little concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. My love of water goes right through the day because generally, even when it's really hot, I'll come back home and relax in a bath. It's through me completely.
Oh, I share your love for water. Again, not just the name of my son, but I had a bath every day I'd come back from. And you know what? That's when I had the massage studio and I was massaging and helping and lymphatic drainaging and loving on people. And I would come home and I would have a basalt bath. I've said to many people, and they used to, if you hear an echo in this meeting, I mean, I would do, you know, seriously, it was to the point that me having a bath was no big deal. You know, my kids would come in, hop up on the toilet seat, have their dinner, and we'd chat about the day.
That's it.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So incredible. So I can totally relate to that. So look, I'm going to kind of ask you another little favorite question, but how can people reach you? How can people support? Who knows? I mean, I think you should tell that husband of yours to start a crowdfunding page for that incredible event. We can start sending people to that crowdfunding page. Hey, it's got to start somewhere. Doesn't matter if you build it in 5 years or whatever. That, trust me, crowdfunders, not, you know, they're not going to not be there. But, you know, are you looking for clients right now? Do you have the availability to take clients right now?
I do. Yeah. I have trained up two other ladies that work closely with me in this area. But yeah, I can take more clients. But my other big dream is that, you know, I want other teachers, sweeping teachers, as well as coaches and, you know, beyond physios, perhaps OTs, you know, I want them to take up this aquatic therapy as well. And, you know, because then we can have a bigger impact on many, many more on children, mainly children. Yeah. So that's what I would.
So if any of that inspires anyone, and you know, look, I in Vancouver here, it's interesting because in Vancouver here, there's a school, and it is, again, for children that have a little bit of extra something, something. They bring a little extra something, something to the table, right? And you don't have that school in Australia. And I know the school very well because I had a good family member go there. And people used to fly from Australia. Mm. And they were here for months and months and months and months and months because it did so, it was just so good for their children.
Yeah.
And so again, I think, you know, people going and learning and training and meeting you and having that experience, like I can't tell you how many people from, because you just don't have the availability of the same teaching in Australia or New Zealand or what have you. And so people used to fly, it is amazing what we will do for our children. Yeah. It is amazing what we'll do for our children. And so, you know, people just to being able to meet you now by Zoom or what have you, but just having that experience. So I'm glad that you shared that so people can reach out to you. You've got other people, obviously, you know, people in that are closer to you are, you know, they're lucky. And the other thing to it is being able to have all those people learn what it is that you do.
Yeah.
And to be able to, you know, take that right to their home communities. So can you tell people where they can reach you, Ruth?
Easily with a email address.
Share it out.
It's pretty simple, really. It's rsmithuki1@gmail.com. Could also have a look. I'm also go under the name of Aquatic Mentors. A colleague and I are aquatic mentors, and I have a website under that name, aquatic-mentors.com.au. So you can also have a look there and see what I'm doing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And we are going to have all of that in the show notes. And look, you crazy, wonderful audience, you know that there's a big party coming on pretty soon, right? So March 2024, we are going to be releasing a book called 262 Incredible Women. No, it's 262 Women, Entrepreneurs, Entrepreneurs, Creatives and Media, Rock Legacy and Tell All. And I don't need to tell you why after listening to Ruth, why she is going to be in that book and you're going to be able to hear more and see more, as well as she's going to be on a pre-summit speaker. So you guys, send us your emails. You know that we're going to be sending it out on all of our channels. You're going to be able to hear her speak herself, talking about many different things, all the secrets we kept for the summit. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, you know where to reach out to her. So Ruth, I just have one incredible last question for you today. And it'd be interesting to hear what you say about this, because I know that you know that music is such a powerful form of healing within itself. But if you were on your way to a desert island and it was just you and you, and you had a suitcase and you only had room for one album in that suitcase, what album would you take with you that you couldn't imagine not listening to for the rest of your life?
It would be Midnight Oil, actually.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, just, you know, they bring up some great memories. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Okay. Well, look, you guys, if you want to be sitting where Ruth is and you want to come on the show, we would love to have a conversation with you. You know how to reach us. It's deb@devdrummond.com. You know we're doing an incredible walk across the country of Ireland to raise money for people that are part of the music industry, in the music industry. And you can go to theydidittour.ca. 8.5 marathons in 8 days. That's the goal. That's my goal. Your goal is to show up and support on the crowdfunding page, which is why I'm telling Ruth to go to the crowdfunding page and donate. So you can go to the crowdfunding page and donate. You can come on to the show. We so love and appreciate you. And we are so grateful that you are going to take this and you're going to share this, because we want to see that big pool being made for Ruth there. So Ruth, thank you so much for coming on and thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you guys be groovy. We'll see you again next week. Thanks. Bye for now.